WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The busiest airport in Europe is shut down this morning. Heathrow in London closed because of a power outage. 1,300 flights a day go in and out of that airport, none of them taking off or landing. A new warning to the owners of heavily traveled bridges across the U.S.
The National Transportation Safety Board now urging dozens of bridges across the country be assessed for risk of collapse if hit by a ship. Among them, the Brooklyn Bridge, Golden Gate Bridge, Chicago Skyway Bridge, and the Benjamin Franklin Bridge in Pennsylvania. The recommendation comes as NTSB officials release new details about the collapse of Baltimore's Key Bridge. It's been nearly a year since a cargo ship lost power, slamming into the bridge, causing it to collapse, killing six people. Officials saying the disaster could have been avoided.
ABC's Andrew Dimbert, President Trump, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, and Elon Musk himself denying a report that claims the military will brief Musk today on plans for any war that might break out with China. This is ABC News. A former assistant football coach at the University of Michigan is now facing decades behind bars. Matthew Weiss is accused of hacking his way into databases of more than 100 schools and then trying to get into accounts belonging to female student athletes. He was fired by the school 2 years ago. Freedom for an American held by the Taliban for more than 2 years.
The State Department says 66-year-old George Glesman was released after weeks of negotiations led by Qatari and U.S. mediators. The husband and father kidnapped while traveling in Afghanistan on his first day in Kabul. Detained by the Taliban's intelligence service, he says he was held in solitary underground for months but never charged with any crime or offense. In a statement, Secretary of State Marco Rubio thanking Qatar for its, quote, steadfast commitment and diplomatic efforts. Dave Packer, ABC News.
And hopefully your bracket isn't too busted yet. March Madness continues today with another 16 games on tap in the Men's College Basketball Championship. The women's games start today. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. A record number of visitors toured America's national parks and monuments last year, including sites here in Wisconsin. More than 331 million people flocked to national parks in 2024. Here in Wisconsin, Apostle Islands and the St. Croix Scenic National Riverway both saw boosts in visitors. It's unclear, though, what the summer travel season will hold this year after the Trump administration fired 1,000 national parks employees across the country on Valentine's Day. Time to say happy birthday to our state parks. This year, Wisconsin's state park system turns 125. Our oldest park is Interstate Park, located along the St. Croix National Scenic Riverway, established back in 1900. For a deep dive into environmental issues and what you can do to protect Wisconsin's water, air, and land, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
More March Madness. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the NCAA tournament, continues tonight in Cleveland with the Marquette Golden Eagles against the New Mexico Lobos. Tip-off time at 6:25. The Badgers will play Brigham Young tomorrow night in Denver at 6:25. Wisconsin beating the Montana Grizzlies 85-66. Head coach Greg Gard able to give all of his guys some playing time, including Carter Gilmore. 8 points, 6 rebounds.
Our bench has been one of our strengths throughout the year. We've gotten great contributions off it. You saw Amos tonight. McGee's done that throughout the year. Janicki's done it at times. And then obviously Gilmore.
NBA, the Bucks rolled over the Lakers in L.A. last night, 118-89. Their road trip continues tomorrow night in Sacramento against the Kings. Women's college hockey, number one ranked Wisconsin against Minnesota tonight in the semifinals of the Frozen Four. The winner advancing to the championship Sunday at the Ritter Arena in Minneapolis. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. After well over a year of hype surrounding the show Severance, I finally had to check it out. 40 minutes into episode 1 of season 1, I had more questions than answers, but the pilot closed strong. Despite being a slow starter, the sci-fi mystery about a group of office workers who discover that their work memories and personal life memories have been surgically separated is a critic's darling, pulling a 96% on Rotten Tomatoes. I will have more information as I continue the binge. The premiere date for season 2 of The Last of Us is right around the corner. Recently, it was revealed revealed that series co-lead Bella Ramsey was diagnosed with autism. Making the story even more interesting was that it was a crew member on the set whose daughter has autism who suggested Ramsey get tested while season one was still being shot. Ramsey says they believe this will help them as an actor, as they have always been someone who watches and studies people. Season two of The Last of Us drops April 13th on Max. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy and a little breezy today. We'll get to the low to mid 50s this afternoon with wind southwest gusting to 30 to 35. Tonight, mostly clear, low of 24. Tomorrow, sunshine 44 with rain likely tomorrow night into Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Temperature now 29.
Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome This Week in Waukesha host Don Brown and Milwaukee native and writer-director of Just a Bit Outside, Sean Hanisch. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who thinks outside the box and hates cliches, Pete Schwabe.
That's me, ladies and gentlemen. So great to have you with me on Nightlight tonight, folks. I am Pete Schwabe, your host, Conrad Krieger.
Whole government name? What are we doing?
Riding shotgun. I don't know. I never know. I always want to say Krueger still to this day, but I managed to muscle through your last name because I have a last name like Schwabe, so I get it. We just made our popcorn pick of the week, folks. On Borrowed Time. Starring Lionel Barrymore, by the great Mike Toomey. The hilariously funny Mike Toomey, who is on the phone with us right now. Our question of the night, which I did ask Mike, and he said eggplant parmesan, is what is your favorite Italian dish? It's National Ravioli Day. It's about time ravioli was recognized as one of your better, if not organically cool-looking pastas. I say straight-up linguine with garlic and oil, extra garlic. Conrad said the pizza. The crazy Italy pizza with the really designer pizza. Mm-hmm. All delicious. No wrong answers. There are only your answers. But let us know. Be part of the show and we'll read your text on the radio. Mike, I have to ask you. You said, all right, we played your bit, the public service announcement you did years ago.
Which one was that?
For the marijuana.
Okay.
And you can't use that anymore.
That was a... You know, something that got shot down.
But let's say you shared that with us like a year ago, and we are able to dig it up. Can we play it, or will that get you in trouble? Not while you're on the show, but just as a public service announcement when it comes to marijuana to warn people.
I suppose if you were able to find it, I don't know where it is, but we did it like how many years ago?
Oh, is it long? It's old.
Over 4 years ago.
Wait. That's when you wrote that?
Which bit are you
talking? We're talking about Careful, Bill. You can't stop that train with your face.
Oh, yeah. No, that. I'm sorry. We were talking about two different pieces.
Oh, okay.
No, that one, I can get. No, you can play that one with me, of course.
We have it somewhere in the Nightlight archives. We have somewhere, right, Conrad? Or should we have Mike resend that at some point? Okay. If you don't mind sending it, Mike, in the near future, we can. I just want to get the word out about marijuana. I think it's very dangerous.
I'm happy to do that. Yes.
I don't even smoke it. And I'm not, you know, you do a lot of drugs, right, Mike?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Right now I am. That's why I'm such a bad guest.
Anything to get through this interview, Pete. All right. So we had a texter or someone emailed the show and I have to find her name here, but she asked about Kirk Rocker. This is a character you do. And her name is Jewel Smith. And I'm surprised I didn't know about this character because we've been friends for so long. I feel like I know, you know, you do all these great characters. Tell us about Kirk Rocker.
Well, Kirk Rocker is a takeoff on like every shock jock who thought he was like, you know, just being outrageous. And all he was doing was like swearing, you know, on the air. Like he felt like he was pushing it. And he would, and you know, he would talk like this and say, man, you know, I'm just telling the truth. That's all I'm doing. All these other asses on the air, man, they're just kissing the corporate ass, man. And the guy, he says the word ass all the time and tries to work that in with, like, all these ass monkeys out there, you know, sitting there walking the corporate line and kissing the corporate ass. Well, I just tell the truth.
Mike Desitel on the stream just asked, can Mike do his Batman impersonation? You got some Batman for us? And if not, that's okay, because we have a clip we can play.
I'm more than happy to do it, citizen. Mike Desitel comes from the Berg of Marinette, Wisconsin, one of my favorite cities in the world. Good day, citizen.
Very nicely done. He also wants to know, what's your favorite candy bar? See, this is what happens, Mike, when you come on the show. Your fans come out in droves.
I think Mike would be one of the first to tell you that I have 82 favorites.
Okay, so is that bit available to play? Do you have that on? Do you have a recording of that or something we could? Because that is one of the greatest stand-up comedy bits ever, and a lot of comics have stolen from you and made kind of their own derivation of that bit. Is that out there somewhere, or do I have to beg you to do it on the air next time?
If you go to drybarcomedy.com, you can check out my Dry Bar special, and I close with it there.
Oh, fantastic. All right, we're totally doing that. Connor, take a memo. We got to find that. All right, last question for you, Mike. Then we'll let you get to bed. What are you binge watching anything? We talked about movies. What shows are you watching? I know you and Beth last time you guys were watching something you shared, and I want to say
we watched the White Lotus. We actually are caught up with that, so we have to wait for it every Sunday to watch it. Are you watching that one?
I just finished season two about 3 weeks ago because I wanted to go right into season three, but I forgot they roll them out like that, and I can't stand that. I have about four of them built up now in season three just because I want the option to at least continue if I'm digging it, you know?
Right, correct. And that's fun. We just finished the first season of a show called Paradise on Hulu. Did you watch that?
No, I've heard that was good.
Yeah, Sterling K. Brown, and it's kind of got a weird futuristic James Marsden is in it. It's really good. It's really well done, and it left us, you know, looking forward to that next season.
What about, have you seen Severance?
No, but that's what everybody's talking about right now.
Okay. I just watched the first, I was saying in the open, I watched the first episode of season one, the pilot, last night, and I just, like, the first 40 minutes, I'm like, come on, pick up, go somewhere, you know, and then it kind of pays off, and the premise is interesting, but like I was saying, you can't, if you go to Roku and you just type in S, Severance comes up. Like, if you go to Google and type in SE, Severance comes up. Like, it's this crazy popular show, so it's kind of like one of those things where I feel like I'm being bullied into watching it almost.
Right, but I'm hearing from my friends the same thing you're hearing, that you keep waiting for it to pick up, and it's okay. So far from what I'm hearing. My friends, where they're at, not there yet.
Really? All right. Well, something must happen. I mean.
But it must be great. It must be good.
Yeah.
Right?
That's what I'm thinking. All right. You just sent the evil weed bit. So, Conrad, I just sent it to you. Let's see if we can pull that. We can play that later in the show. Awesome stuff. Mike, thank you so much for being part of the show, as always. Oh, a quick plug for your Christmas show.
Yes. We do those every year. Usually it goes at the weekend after Thanksgiving, but we haven't finalized that yet. But I will come back with you and talk about it.
Are there still tickets left for this year's show? Listen, I know this isn't current, but I'm trying to like plant the seeds because last year when we did this, I got my dates mixed up. I don't know what happened, but you were like, it was last week. I was like, no, we talked about it in April and September, but I missed the actual show. So this year we'll be more on it.
And I just sent you the other one, too.
Oh, you sent the Greyhound bit. All right, fantastic. All right, we got Serious Mike Toomey coming up in the near future on Nightlight. Thank you, buddy. Always fun to talk. And thanks for the movie recommendation. Right. Love it.
Thanks, Pete.
All right, see you, buddy. Bye. That's Mike Toomey. His show is every year down in Kenosha. It's a Christmas show. It's Mike Toomey and Friends Christmas show. It's so much fun. And I will keep reminding you guys as we get closer. I know we've got time. But I just, if you live in Southeast Wisconsin, I don't want you to miss it. So, all right, we've got some texts we got to get to here tonight. Our show, our question of the night is, what is your favorite Italian dish? It's National Ravioli Day. And we've got, oh, Steady Eddie is doubling up today. Did you see that?
I did,
Two texts in the same show. And we'll get to that one, too. This is exciting. Monica from Mount Horeb says, penne arrabbiata. Best Italian food I've ever had was in Dublin, Ireland. Interesting. Best Chinese food was in Mexico City. What the heck? That's awesome. She says, go figure. That's a pleasant surprise, though, when you get there and find something you're not expecting. That's a, it's a vacation for your palate as well, Monica. Thank you for the text. Steady Eddie from the 608 already has some text street cred to his name tonight, and he's coming back. He says, when I was a little kid, my favorite Italian dish was my mom's paschetti. Now I enjoy my own homemade spaghetti. It tastes even better when I eat it listening to Nightlight. Eddie, you are the best. Thank you, sir. He says, I like to keep it simple and delicious. I'm not fuzzy. He likes his pasta. I almost made a joke you can't make anymore. And how sad is that? Steady Eddie, thank you, buddy. Great to have two texts from the same show from Steady Eddie. I love it. Let's do some Ferris Bueller.
Yeah.
Because Ferris Bueller dropped on this day in 1987, starring Matthew Broderick. And I think, is it Matthew Broderick's birthday? Or did we pass? That was recently, though.
You know, one thing about Matthew Broderick I didn't know was that how many movies he was actually in that I've watched. And I just didn't know it was Ferris Bueller. You know what I mean?
What do you mean? Wait.
There's a lot of movies he's in that I didn't realize that's Ferris Bueller.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's got a great great resume. I thought this was funny, too. I saw that it was Gary Oldman's birthday today, and we just played that clip. Stephen Colbert last night. Maybe we should play that, too, because it's in honor of his birthday. Stephen Colbert addressed Gary Oldman's role in Slow Horses, where he plays the leader of a kind of a disgraced MI5 group, and he's just kind of a slob, and he passes gas all the time on the show. So Stephen Colbert thought it would be funny if he put together a montage of Gary Oldman's other movies in which he passes gas, and Gary Oldman cannot stop laughing. Let's play that, and we'll come back to Ferris Bueller, but let's play the Oldman clip.
Do you think any of your previous characters, any of those performances could have been improved by passing gas? Because I have here an example. We took some of our favorite performances of yours and added that undefinable Jackson Lamb quality. Here we go.
And I bid you welcome, Mr. Harker, to my house.
I want you to listen to me very carefully, Harry.
That's brilliant. That's fantastic. Get off my plane.
Any regrets of holding out this long? Before adding that je ne sais quoi to certain characters?
Oh, God. Yes, very good.
Could have been. Could have helped a few.
Could have been.
Could have helped a few.
Could have been.
Okay.
He couldn't even catch his breath. He was laughing so hard. And the best one was right in the middle. He was Churchill for that really long one. And this guy is giving him this look. It's worth a Google. The visuals are hilarious. But Gary Oldman laughing like that is even funnier than the sound effects. Great stuff. All right. What is your favorite Italian dish? That's our question of the night. Let us know at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. When we come back after this very short break, magician Lou Lepore will be here talking about a great event coming up in Appleton, and we'll do it.
A voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX. The John and Gordy Show.
Doesn't matter whether they're, you know, red or blue. We're just angry that nothing is getting done. No one's trying to do anything different. We're just watching the dismantling of our own government, the one that we grew up with, the one we assume takes care of us when we need it most. And it's frustrating the hell out of everyone. Political left and right.
Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX.
Don't get angry.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Musk is so arrogant that he is even intervening right here in the state of Wisconsin.
Republican Rep. Brian Stile said in a statement that Sanders was on a fear-mongering tour. Maybe you should be afraid when billionaires can buy the presidency, when billionaires can buy elections. I think that's a little scary. And
I think so.
We the people should do something about it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft. But thanks to Smile Train, both father and son received free, life-changing surgeries, transforming their smiles into symbols of hope. To learn more and support the global cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. This is Late Late with Peach Wabba. I am Peach Wabba, your host. Conrad is riding shotgun, working the board. Todd from the 920 says, I'm sorry, Pete, if you type S-E into Google, I'm pretty sure some NSFW content will come up. That's not what happened earlier.
I don't know what he means by that.
Maybe Todd from DePierre's algorithm is a little different from mine. And now I'm doing like these mental gymnastics trying to figure out what SE could bring, but we don't have to get into that. Thank you for the warning, though, Todd. I appreciate that. All right, this is exciting. We've talked about magic a couple times on Nightlight since our inception, and right now joining me here on the show is magician Lou Lepore. He is a Northeast Wisconsin resident who is going to talk to us a little bit about Harry Houdini and a really cool event coming up in Appleton in the very near future. He joins us over the stream. Lou, how are you?
Great, Pete. How are you?
It's great to meet you.
Very nice to meet you. Thank you very much for having me on.
I'm excited because I thought you were coming into the studio, so that's my bad. That's on me. But I also want to see how you plan to do magic over the stream and knock our socks off here. You just must be good at your craft. That's all I'm saying.
I think I am. Yes. I've been hired a lot. I used to do it full time. And it's magic has changed quite a bit. Especially since COVID hit, people have, backed off a tiny bit on that. They're not having as many people, magicians doing, strolling or close-up magic at restaurants,
right.
The guys that are in this group that I belong to, we're all very, very good and pretty proficient at magic.
That's great.
Hey, I just got to tell you one thing.
Yeah.
Gnocchi is my favorite Italian meal.
No, I was going to ask you anyway, believe me. I wasn't going to let you off the hook.
I thought I'd beat you to the punch. I'm full-blooded Italian, so.
Oh, I thought so with that last name. So, but I was in Milwaukee about a month ago at a place down near Pfizer Forum, this great Italian restaurant, and I ordered gnocchi for the first time in 20 years, and man, it did not disappoint. It was great. So I'm with you on that. It's not my favorite or my go-to, but man, I love a good plate of gnocchi.
So with marinara sauce?
This was, I'm not a red sauce guy. I think I kind of sidestepped the red sauce and went with it had a different kind of sauce on it. And that's why I ordered it. And I can't remember it right now, but it had tons of garlic.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
You cannot go wrong with garlic.
I totally agree with you. All right. So before we get into your career and Houdini and this great event coming up, Lou, tell us and tell the listeners a little bit about yourself. How did you get started? A little bit about your background, if you would.
Oh, boy. I got started pretty young in magic. I was maybe between like 8 and 10 years old. And I was gifted a book on magic and a couple of different tricks from a small shop in Evanston, Illinois. It's since gone out of business. I just got the bug. It wasn't really a performing bug, so to speak. It was more of a, and still to this day, when I look at something and I figure out how it's done, or I read how it's done, that's what really got the bug in me. It intrigued me as to how things, the modus operandi behind the magic. And there were a couple small tricks that people really wouldn't know the name of, but the Chinese wands, linking rings, things like that. So, and then it was a book of beginner magic. And then my very first book of real magic was my parents and I went to New Jersey, which is where I'm from originally. And we stopped in a shop because I had the bug. My dad took me down to a shop and I saw the shop owner's daughter blew me away with card magic and coins and stuff. And one of the books that I wanted was a book called J.B. Bobo's Coin Magic. Huh. And I learned my very first coin trick, from that book. And to this day, I still use the sleight and do the trick.
Wow.
And for record, I'm 66 years old. So I've been doing it for a long time. Like many magicians, I dropped it, picked it up, dropped it, picked it up. Career got in the way, family, things like that.
Sure.
And, college, I did it a little bit through college. But I never had it as a job during college. And much later in life, I actually had it as my full-time job.
Oh, that's so cool. So let me ask you, my guest is Lou Lepore. He is a magician, retired magician, as I understand it, but it sounds like you still don't ever really truly retire. It sounds like you're still kind of in the world a little bit, which is kind of nice.
Kind of like your business. You never really retire from it.
Right. Listen, do it. I consider myself a comedian because all my best friends are still guys I started with. I only did it for like 7 or 8 years full time, and then I switched to writing. So I totally get that, but you still feel I guess it's who you identify with mostly.
Sure. It's in your blood.
Yeah. So you talked about going into that shop and finding magic and learning how to do tricks. How long did it take you to get good at them? Like, I'm sure there are like the go-tos that you learn when you're starting out. How long did that take you before you thought, hey, I can do this?
Oh, I would practice and practice. And one of my very first shows I did, and it pretty much every magician starts out doing birthday parties.
Okay.
So, you've got guys in the area. I don't know if you're, Rondini, Bruce Hetz, all these different guys in the area, they all do birthday parties. All right. So the very first birthday party I ever did was a friend of my sister. My sister's about 4.5 years older than I am. And she had a friend that his little boy was having a birthday party. And so, I troop in there with all my, my little stuff, and I'm much younger. And I was so nervous. It was unbelievable. And I had been doing all this stuff, but had never done it in front of a real audience.
Yeah.
I had done it in front of, relatives, grandmother, grandfather, all these different people and friends and family. And everybody said, wow, you're really good. But I had never really been in front of an audience that was going to give me, $10 or $5.
Right.
So, I'm standing in the kitchen, and the first thing the guy realizes, and everybody, is how much I'm shaking. And he hands me, something. He said, here, take a swig. And I took, before I even realized it, I took a drink and I looked, it was beer.
So, and you made it disappear.
I didn't look at what was in my hand. I was thinking, it's soda, water, something like that in my head. And so, well, it calmed me down.
Hey, Lou, let's pick up right there. We got to do the news and then we'll come back. And I want to hear the end of that. And we'll jump into some Houdini stuff. Lou Lepore is here. He's a Northeast Wisconsin magician. We're coming right back after the news. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The busiest airport in Europe is shut down this morning. Heathrow in London closed because of a power outage. 1,300 flights a day go in and out of that airport, none of them taking off or landing. A new warning to the owners of heavily traveled bridges across the U.S.
The National Transportation Safety Board now urging dozens of bridges across the country be assessed for risk of collapse if hit by a ship. Among them, the Brooklyn Bridge, Golden Gate Bridge, Chicago Skyway Bridge, and the Benjamin Franklin Bridge in Pennsylvania. The recommendation comes as NTSB officials release new details about the collapse of Baltimore's Key Bridge. It's been nearly a year since a cargo ship lost power, slamming into the bridge, causing it to collapse, killing six people. Officials saying the disaster could have been avoided.
ABC's Andrew Dimbert, President Trump, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, and Elon Musk himself denying a report that claims the military will brief Musk today on plans for any war that might break out with China. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
More March Madness. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the NCAA tournament, continues tonight in Cleveland with the Marquette Golden Eagles against the New Mexico Lobos. Tip-off time at 6:25. The Badgers will play Brigham Young tomorrow night in Denver at 6:25. Wisconsin beating the Montana Grizzlies 85-66. Head coach Greg Gard able to give all of his guys some playing time, including Carter Gilmore. 8 points, six rebounds.
Our bench has been one of our strengths throughout the year. We've gotten great contributions off it. You saw Amos tonight. McGee's done that throughout the year. Janicki's done it at times. And then obviously Gilmore.
NBA, the Bucks rolled over the Lakers in L.A. last night, 118-89. Their road trip continues tomorrow night in Sacramento against the Kings. Women's college hockey, number one ranked Wisconsin against Minnesota tonight in the semifinals of the Frozen Four. The winner advancing to the championship Sunday at the Ritter Arena in Minneapolis. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. It's looking more and more like we should all avoid heading to the theaters to see The Alto Nights, where Robert De Niro plays gangsters Frank Costello and Vito Genovese. That's right, he plays both roles. Despite what producers thought was a solid script and Barry Levinson directing, the crime thriller is drawing only 38% on Rotten Tomatoes. Not sure if De Niro playing two roles has anything to do with it, but how hard could it have been to find another actor and not rely on a gimmick? Actress Jenny Slate initially supported her co-star Blake Lively in her sexual harassment complaints against Justin Baldoni. The three actors were all in the film It Ends With Us, where the controversy started. In a recent interview with The Hollywood Reporter, Slate, the star of Bob's Burgers and FX's new series Dying for Sex, says she only wanted to talk about her new show and will no longer discuss anything involving Baldoni, Lively, or It Ends With Us. All this drama will no doubt be a miniseries one day. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mostly cloudy and a little breezy today. We'll get to the low to mid-50s this afternoon with wind southwest gusting to 30 to 35. Tonight, mostly clear, low of 24. Tomorrow, sunshine 44 with rain likely tomorrow night into Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
L.A. Tom, L.A., what do you got for us?
We do have a woman problem in this country. There is an issue there that needs to be solved if we are ever to have a female president.
Look at Mexico has a president. You know, Margaret Thatcher. It's just all over the world.
You have to remember Margaret Thatcher. They had queens.
We have Lindsey Graham. Come on.
Wow, that's true.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we continue on location from Richland Center, Wisconsin. We'll have the general manager of WRCO, WRCE, Phil Nee, and host of Those Were the Days and look at our brackets. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. You got Nightlight with Pete Schwabe here. And our question of the night, it's not too late if you want to play, is what is your favorite Italian dish? It is National Ravioli Day. I said pasta with garlic and oil, extra, extra, extra garlic, and then double it. And Conrad said a funky, cool designer pizza he had in Italy. Our guest, Lou Lepore, a magician here from Northeast Wisconsin, says gnocchi. And there are no wrong answers, folks. It's just fun to read your text on the radio. So Lou is our guest. We're talking about how he got started and when he felt comfortable performing magic. Lou, we had to go to the news, so please continue your story about you wolfed down some beer at a kid's party, and then you felt a little more at ease.
A little more at ease and got through the show, and I think I might have been paid $5 for it. So, you know, it was my first paid gig.
And a free swig of beer.
And a free swig of beer that I had no idea what it was.
That's hilarious. So, I want to give a shout out, too, to Mike Desitel, who introduced us, and he is part of this group you're part of, too. Before we get to that, I have one more question. As a magician, when you watch big things on TV, like David Blaine or, you know, David Copperfield, what are your thoughts on that as opposed to going to a table and doing magic or sleight of hand? Like, do you get excited about big illusions, as David Copperfield used to call them, or are you more of the purist, just kind of smaller tricks?
My favorite stuff is the small tricks. So the sleight of hand, the close-up magic, strolling, and also cabaret or club-style magic.
Yeah.
So I don't really, you know, I enjoy the big illusions, but they don't trip my trigger as much as other stuff. Because I know what, you know, when I see a phenomenal close-up artist, I know what they've gone through. I don't know if you remember the name Ricky Jay. You know, Ricky Jay was a phenomenal card artist. And he grew up in the world of magic and, you know, circus freaks. And all that stuff. I mean, he could scale cards, and he could use cards as, you know, he could throw cards and impale a card, you know, into a watermelon. But his sleight of hand was, you know, beyond anybody else's. He was phenomenal.
I used to work comedy clubs, and there was a magician on the show. I worked with the amazing Jonathan a couple times. And,
fantastic.
Yeah. And what these guys do, it's more fun for me to say, how the heck did he do that? Whereas I'm watching a huge, like when he made the plane disappear, Copperfield, I'm like, well, there's a camera trick or something involved. Like it's almost too big. You know what I mean? Like I love the stuff up close that happens that you can't, you know, figure out or even know how to comprehend, I guess.
Well, it's happening right there. You know, it's happening right in front of you and exactly. Right under your nose. And as you said, it's not something that's, you know, that's so far removed that, you know, sometimes when you get to a big illusion, like, you know, walking through the Wall of China, making the Statue of Liberty vanish, people would think exactly what you did. You know, it's got to be a camera trick. But once you have a deck of cards and you're sitting right there with that person and you shuffle the four aces into the deck and then immediately cut all four aces right out of the deck, right underneath their noses, that is, it's sleight of hand, but it's still to me more magical sleight of hand, magical magic.
Really cool stuff. All right. So let's talk a little bit about, why don't you tell us, Lou, about the organization you belong to? It's Dr. Lynn Minor Ring 398 International Brotherhood of Magicians. I didn't even know this existed. And then we can segue into Houdini from there and the big event coming up.
Sure. The International Brotherhood of Magicians is our parent group. And that's a group that that actually is worldwide, the International Brotherhood. So they've got, and when they've got like different, when you've got different local groups that are part of that, you've got what's called a ring. And our ring is Ring 398. It's in Appleton, and it meets at Monty's Magic Theater in Kimberley. Okay, so it meets the second Tuesday and the fourth Tuesday of every month. The second Tuesday, we have what's called a jam meeting, and that's just about magic. So people can do anything they want there, you know, at that meeting. They can do cards, coins, mentalism, you know, something that they're working on if they've got something in progress, or they're, you know, they're looking at patter for, you know, a particular trick and they want to talk to the group about it. The fourth, which is kind of the official meeting, which is the fourth Tuesday, is a themed meeting. So you would do, you know, you would do cards, coins, rope magic, mentalism. You would do, you know, something that fits in with the theme.
Okay.
So, wow. And Dr. Lynn Miner, Lynn was actually a, he was very instrumental in getting us to be actually become a ring. Okay. So it isn't that, you know, they give it, it's not that you can get, you know, like 10 guys together and all of a sudden say, oh, we're going to be a ring. Okay. You have to go through a bunch of different, you know, procedures and, you know, processes with the actual parent organization. And Lynn was the territorial vice president at the time and helped us jump through all those hoops and kind of get everything, you know, get all of our ducks in order and, you know, become an official ring. And we're very, very proud of it and very pleased with him, you know, as far as him doing that for us. That was very kind.
Not to get too inside baseball here, Lou, but like when you guys are all hanging out, you know, I remember when I would work comedy clubs, there were comedians, the comics who the back of the room, the other comics loved. Is it that way with magicians? Like when you guys are doing sleight of hand, let's say, in front of each other, do you all bring something new to it? Or do you all kind of play out of the same playbook? Are you ever in awe of other magicians you're hanging out with?
Yeah, there's guys that we hang out with that are, that are very, very good. And, you know, some of the guys bring, it's always fun to see what, you know, if they bring something new,
yeah.
Because then you're like, oh, you know, that was great. You know, that particular sleight, you know, I never really thought about using it that way. You know, where'd you get that? Oh, I got that in this book. You know, this is, you know, by so-and-so.
Nice. Okay. So we have this great event coming up here in Appleton at the Appleton Library, March 24th at 4 p.m. Can you tell us about the event?
Yes. Actually, the time has changed. It's the Appleton Library at 4. It starts at 4:30.
Okay.
So I'm going to actually kind of go off some notes here.
Sure.
What we're going to do is we're going to get to the library at 4:30. They're going to have the official welcome. They're going to have a brief history of Houdini and Appleton's importance, you know, because Houdini called, you know, started out, you know, here in Wisconsin when he was, you know, in Appleton when he was a child. And then what they're going to do is we're going to have two magicians perform, Bruce Hetzler and a gentleman named Rick Moraine. They're both going to perform. And then we're going to, the ring is actually going to donate a book to the library. And then we're going to cut a cake.
Nice. Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Lou. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say you have some fans listening. AJ from the 608 says, hey, Lou, I've always loved magicians, but what's the state of your profession today? Then she adds, I feel like I rarely see this profession anymore. That's interesting.
You know, and it is sad. There are times when people look at magic as, you know, more of a, you know, a lesser art. But it's probably one of the oldest performing arts, you know, in history. Okay, it dates all the way back to, you know, this, you know, the 1600s, 1700s. Okay, when guys were doing the cups and balls, you can actually, you know, see depictions of it in very old books, and then there will be descriptions of things. So, you know, magic sometimes, you know, gets a bad rap. You know, somebody, you know, a lot of people go, oh my God, here's the magician. He's going to have me pick a card. Okay.
Right.
So that's why, you know, that's why when I do close-up magic and I do strolling, I try not to have as many card tricks in it or many of the same tricks all the time. You know, I want to show them something different so that, you know, we can get a little better, you know, perception of magicians.
It's interesting you're saying that. I remember when I was in college and I would ride the subway in Chicago, they had these guys that would play the shell game. They'd walk around and they'd ask you for $20 if you can follow the peanut. And they're obvious, it's all sleight of hand. And people would get cocky. And I found myself rooting for the guys who are ripping these people, not even ripping them off. Hey, if you can guess, but they're sleight of hand. And I remember one woman in particular going, that's easy. It's right there. And of course they pick it up and it's there. And then they do it again. And she puts $20 down and whoop, it's not there now. Like, and people would get so mad when they would storm off. But I enjoyed, I found it interesting that I was cheering for the guys who were doing the shell game as opposed to the people guessing.
I bumped into that in New York. I went, we went back to visit, and I went down to Times Square with a cousin to see the old Doug Henning show on Broadway, off Broadway, The Magic Show.
Yeah.
And as we were going there, there was a guy doing the three card Monty game. And it's same thing as the shell game. You know, it's a three card Monty. You got two blacks and a red queen, and you got to find the red queen. Keep your eye on the lady.
Right.
And I found myself doing the same thing as you. I was kind of cheering for the operator. You know, that I was like, you know, oh, he's good. Oh, look at that move. Oh, I like that.
My guest is Lou Lepore. He's a magician from here in Northeast Wisconsin. And we're talking about an event coming up at the Appleton Library, March 24th at 4:30. You're going to talk about Houdini, commemorate the birthday, the 151st birthday of Harry Houdini. What can you tell us about Harry Houdini, Lou, when it comes to, like, I looked him up earlier, and it says Houdini used what is called static apnea, in which he remained calm and did not move or for more than is necessary to conserve oxygen. In other words, Houdini's ability to escape underwater confinement came not from magic or even special equipment, but rather from a skill few people know how to develop. Does that make any sense to you? Can you explain that to us?
Yeah, well, in a way, he would lower his heart rate. Okay, that's the same type of thing like David Blaine did when he was buried alive. You know, that type of, and so David Blaine would, you know, would do the, he kind of practiced that also. Houdini, I think David Blaine held his breath longer than Houdini did, you know, at the time. And if I recall, yeah, now I haven't read a lot about that specific, you know, part of Houdini, but there are divers, you know, the pearl divers, I think, use the same type of breathing technique. Or that type of technique to go, you know, down really far.
How long could he hold his breath?
If I'm correct, I want to say it was over 3 minutes.
Okay. Conrad, do you think you could beat that?
No.
All right. Fair enough. Have you ever done?
I used to try when I was younger and I was first reading about Houdini. I was always trying to hold my breath and see how far I could go. I think I got over a minute.
Okay. Well, that's pretty good.
And then I thought, well, I don't really want to jump into rivers and go in a box or anything, so I'm just going to give this up.
I'll stick with the sleight of hand stuff.
I'll go with the cards. You know, that's you know, I wouldn't die doing card tricks.
He had some close calls, though, didn't he? When it came to these escape things he would do, did he ever come close to death during one of those?
You know, from what I've read, no. A lot of it was... You know, when Houdini would have he would always put a challenge out there. So when he would do a challenge escape, you know, he made sure that he always saw, you know, like if it was a huge one, like a box or something, he made sure that he looked at that, you know, that item a day or two ahead.
Okay.
So that he and his team could figure out how he could get out of it. Okay. Now, when he would do, a lot of people would say, you know, well, oh, he, you know, came, you know, doing all the bridge jumping. You know, people would, you know, they would put handcuffs all the way up his arms, you know, and people would bring handcuffs and, you know, say, oh, you know, put this one on, you know, you can try this. Well, as they were coming up to him, you know, his team was making a decision as to what handcuffs would go where. So if he knew that it was maybe something that would give him a problem, he would put it farther up on his arms so that he could get the easy ones off and on the bottom of his wrist. And then he would just drop the top ones off, you know, and they would just drop off.
It's a science.
So, he was a phenomenal showman.
Yeah.
But he was a smart showman and he never took anything, you know, never took anything for granted and never left any box unchecked.
That's fantastic. Lou Lepore is here. He is a Northeast Wisconsin based magician. Great event coming up in Appleton. We'll have a couple more minutes with Lou when we come back with Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. Never had.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
People have always trusted a compass. Now it's your turn.
Hi, I'm with the Aaron Weber Group. And yes, I got a compass in my hand.
Aye, matey. A compass guides me to treasure.
I'm Magellan, and a compass got me around the world.
Aye, 'tis true.
Throughout history, a compass has been trusted to lead the way. Now, let the Aaron Weber Group and Compass, the number one real estate brokerage in the country, guide you home. The Aaron Weber Group, powered by Compass, at movetomadison.com.
Our real estate riches await.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A Washington state audit of rejected 2020 mail-in ballots offers insight on whose ballots are more likely to be rejected and recommends actions to reduce that number, over 37,000 in 2024. Primary reasons for rejection include ballots received or postmarked after Election Day, a missing signature on a ballot envelope, or the voter's signature couldn't be confirmed. Auditors found 2020 rates varied from a high of 1.5% in Franklin County to 0.02% in Columbia County, but they also found higher rejections of younger voters, 18 to 21, where 2.6% of ballots were rejected, and black voters at 2.5%. They also found that non-native English speakers were 47% more likely to have ballots rejected. Signature issues can often be cured, but many voters don't or can't correct it. The auditors recommended outreach programs on college campuses, sending letters and calling voters with curable signature issues, more training on signature verification, opening early voting centers 18 days before the election, an advisory committee for disabled voters, and ballot drop boxes for every 15,000 voters. In the 2024 general election, Washington's statewide rejection rate had dropped to 0.94%, but of those, over 24,000 were rejected for a mismatched signature. Find a link to the audit at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
A voice for Madison, real news and great conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. You're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Our question of the night was, what is your favorite Italian dish? Tony the Trucker. Love that name. From the 608 says, Pete, hot Italian sausage, peppers, and onions on a good hard roll with melted provolone. That's the first Italian dish we've heard of all night that did not have pasta. Well done, Tony. That sounds great. And Mike on the stream says, my favorite Italian dish is the spagomlet. He's referencing an ad lib from The Godfather of Green Bay by our friend Eric Price, which was a very, very funny line. Thank you all for your text. It was another good question. People love their food questions, Conrad. I'm gun shy.
People love their Italian food.
Tomorrow on the show, Don Brown from This Week in Waukesha will be here at 6:35. And then I welcome Sean Hannish, the director of Just a Bit Outside, will be here at 7:05. And then we'll have an all-star appearance from Bar Band Friday night after that. So right now we have a few more minutes with our guest, Lou Lepore. He is a Northeast Wisconsin magician hanging out with us for a while here on Nightlight, talking about a fun event coming up at the Appleton Library March 24th at 4:30 p.m., where they will commemorate the 151st birthday of Harry Houdini. Lou, you said you could do a trick over the stream. How long do tricks take? We got about 3 minutes. Do you think we could bang something out?
I could do one real quick for you here.
Fantastic.
And I've never done it on camera, so you got to tell me if you can see everything.
Yeah.
And this is the only silk I had. So this is the only bandana.
Okay.
So I'm going to take that, and I'm just going to make a little hole right there, a little well in there.
Okay.
And I'm going to take this silk right here and place it inside that well. Okay.
Okay.
This is what I do for the kids when I'm strolling around. Okay.
I love it.
And I ask them on the count of three if everybody can say a magic word. So Pete, Conrad, do you guys have a good magic word you want to say?
How about spagomlet?
Okay, sounds good. Count of three, okay. Say your magic word.
All right.
One, two, three.
Spagomlet. Let's see. All right, it's gone. Very well
it's
done.
Gone.
I got to give the. Let's give Lou the bell, Conrad. Very well done. So now where is that?
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll bring it back. Okay.
So
all we have to do is snap and we reach inside.
Oh my gosh.
And it comes right back.
Oh man, that's great. Dude, people just eat that up. See, if you were at my table, Lou, and I was eating an Italian dish, I would completely focus on you. I think that stuff is so cool. Honest to God.
Well, a lot of time what I do is, you know, is when I work a restaurant, I love working restaurants with kids. Okay. Yeah. And I don't mind adults. I can do all adult parties. I've done a lot of, you know, I've done a ton of cocktail parties and corporate parties. And that's, you know, pretty much my specialty is corporate work, you know, as far as corporate strolling magic and club shows for corporations. But I love working for kids.
That's great.
And it's so I love doing library shows and.
Yeah, and kids are full of wonder. You know what I mean? They're not jaded like a lot of adults are. And I'm sure there are plenty of adults that enjoy it, but yeah, I totally get that. So this event on the 24th, Lou, before we let you go, let us know how we can find out more information. It's the 24th, at March 24th, 4:30, the Appleton Library, commemorating Harry Houdini's 151st birthday. Where can people find out more information or get tickets if they need them?
They do not need tickets. Okay. It's open. It's free and it's open to the public. All they have to do is call the Appleton Library if they want a little bit more information. But that's pretty much all the information as far as there's, like I said, there's going to be two magicians that will be performing. We'll be cutting a cake. We'll be, you know, officially recognizing Harry Houdini's, you know, 151st birth date. And then we'll be donating a book to the Appleton Library in honor of Houdini and donating it from Ring 398.
That is
and
fantastic.
And we'd love to have people show up with their kids so that we can get kids interested. And there'll be there'll be information regarding Ring 398 and how the kids can join and become a member of our ring that, which, like I said, meets in Kimberly at Monty's Magic Theater. And we'd love to, you know, have kids show up and be able to teach them magic.
I love it.
And
Lou,
get this into a new generation.
Yeah. Great stuff, buddy. Good luck with the event. And don't be a stranger. Let's do this again. This was fun.
Thank you. Love to.
You got it. All right. Good luck. Break a leg at the event, I should say. That's Lou Lepore. Check out the event on March 24th at the Appleton Library. It's free. And Conrad, you know my saying, if it's free, it's me. So that's fantastic. I'd like to also thank, in addition to Lou Lepore, Mike Toomey and all of our texters tonight. Great job with the text, everybody, and the calls once we get the phones figured out. Brian from Milwaukee gets in under the wire here. He says, kielbasa, pierogi, sauerkraut, and stuffed cabbage rolls. Brian is being defiant. He wants nothing to do with Italian food. He's bringing the Polish food, and that's okay, too. Whatever whets your appetite, Brian. Great stuff. Thank you for the text. Steady Eddie. Oh, my God. Radio history again being made here on Nightlight. Steady Eddie with his third text of the night.
There we go.
That actually has been done before, but not by Steady Eddie. So let's read this. He says, Pete, tonight I'm going for the three, Pete, three texts to Nightlight in one night. I should have read this first. He says, ask Conrad to call the Guinness Book of World Records people. This isn't a record for Nightlight. Some people just keep texting, but this is a record. It's a personal.
Yeah.
Steady Eddie, you should be happy with that. He says, I remember as a kid reading a paperback about Houdini. I saw the movie Houdini starring Tony Curtis on TV. The movie was magical. It's my Milk Duds movie pick of the week. I give it a 3.25 Milk Duds. Well, that's really gross. thank you so much, Steady Eddie. Thank you for all the texts. We'll be back to do this all again tomorrow night, folks. Great hanging out on the Christmas Eve of weekdays. And tomorrow night, more fun on Nightlight here on the Civic Media Radio Network. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, I'm Pete Schwabba saying good night, Wisconsin.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX. John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next show, Rocker will be in the studio with a Max Inc. preview of local music.
And we're going to talk to Pam Yonke about the latest farm report.
Join us.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 till 8.
Teachers are dynamic leaders shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. They're skilled experts discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, leading by example. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. At least 600 flights have already been canceled today at London's Heathrow Airport. A fire at a substation nearby cut power to the entire airport, which sees 1,300 flights take off and land each day. No flights until tomorrow. President Trump moving to dismantle the Education Department and give more oversight to states. Indiana Governor Mike Braun.
I feel real good about the challenge. We've been asking for it. Now the challenge is with us. We need to make sure that we don't drop any balls and that we take it in the right direction.
And former Education Secretary Arne Duncan.
Not a single thing Trump has done, not a single thing he has uttered or said helps an additional child, one child in this country, better learn how to read. That's where we should be focused.
Almost a year after the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse in Baltimore, the NTSB is warning the owners of 68 different bridges across the country they need to assess their risk of collapse if hit by a ship. This is ABC News.